Hey, Christine, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jacoby. How are you?
I'm making it. Yeah. It's a good little Thursday here. Friday's Eve, as I like to call it. So.
Yes, we love a good Friday Eve.
Welcome back to everyone to the Venn Dialogues. Remember to like, comment, follow, share, subscribe, comment, whatever you want to do, whatever you can do to help us grow. And let us know what you think. If you want to DM us, we're available. You want to start with getting off the chest or to recap? Stuck.
Because you know I never know what to get off my chest.
You can do the recap first if you want to.
I thought doing recap but then I was like, what if I have nothing still?
What if you can't recap because you're thinking
right? Because I'm thinking too hard about what I'm trying to get off my chest. Let's recap.
Okay. So last episode we did comfort languages, yay! Comforting others, which was really amazing. I super enjoyed it, and I hope you listeners enjoyed it too. I did take the quiz.
Okay, what'd you get?
I got practical comfort, mm-hmm. which I think makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. I think so too. I do want to change some questions on the quiz. It's funny, I was, I did get a chance to like express my comfort languages with someone yesterday, and that felt good. It felt very empowering.
And which one, and what is yours again?
What a good cue. Oh, practical.
Practical. Yeah, we're both practical. It's okay,
between
I love
comfort.
It.
It's between emotional and practical for me. Cool. I took it twice, and that's kind of where it boiled down to.
I took it four times. It came back to practical every time. I took it when I had a different mood. I was like, let's just take it again.
Yeah. Or like a different situation I'm in. Like, I was trying to think of different things. But I was having a conversation with someone, and we got into this like heated place or whatever. They asked me my feelings. I gave my vulnerable feelings. I'm crying. And they were like, can I give you a hug? And I said, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I said, because before I had offered a hug. Remember when I said I could give you a hug, but I can't take one? So I had offered them a hug because they were not feeling okay. They just shared something vulnerable with me. And my body was like, give this person a hug. You know that's what they want. You know that you can give this. Yeah. The moment it switched over to me.
No.
And it was me who was feeling the feelings. And then the person was like, can I give you a hug? I said, no. No, you cannot. Because right now I'm feeling my feelings now. I can't. That's not going to comfort me. Mm-hmm. You can't comfort me in that way. Yeah. And then they were like, well, how can I? And I was like, baby.
Jeez. Like, where do I start?
Baby, you should have started about a year ago. Because the things that I've asked you to do, you should have done by now. So, yes. It was nice to have felt that and to have experienced it all the same. That was nice. But I feel like some of the questions should revolve around like other things that you do when you need comforting. Cause I think I saw like a brownie and I was like, you know what? Cause desserts backward is stressed. And
I'm sorry, what?
Because in my mind,
it actually is.
It is. It is. And so if you bring me, you know, is food a because food is comfort.
No, absolutely.
And bringing me, like, if you brought me a brownie, I'd be like, yo.
Well, I mean, one of the questions you had was like someone buying you dinner or takeout.
This is true.
And I was like, always, that's my choice. Like, I don't even care what the other choice is. That's always going to be my
always
choice.
Always
buy like,
me something.
What do you mean?
Like, yes. But no, I feel like some of the questions or some of the responses could be a little different. But still, I feel like it was a good, substantial quiz. Not a lot of people took it. Just know that I can see the data. So no one's doing challenges out there. I got it. I see you. I see how it is.
Calling them out. Now everyone's like frantically going to the show notes to click on the link.
Please. I just want to know. And maybe I feel like people are probably like, well, I know how I want to be comforted. But at the same time, do you?
Yeah, which is like, honestly, I took it because I had a generally good idea that it was probably practical. And that was really nice. I actually thought in my head as I was taking it, it could be good to have the quiz on the opposite because I know I express giving comfort the most in emotional comfort. So I was kind of like, ooh, I wonder if that's like another thing we could do.
Yeah.
Maybe on a part two.
I agree. Because I think that knowing how you give is also a good one as well to know how can you give? What is the best way that you know how to? Because I don't know if I'm a good verbal giver because I'm just going to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that's all that I've got verbally. I can listen, but I giving you something back, I'm either going to start giving you advice. I'm going to start like internalizing this and it's my problem. And now here are all the things that I would do to fix it versus listening and trying to take.
Yeah, it's so interesting too, because even thinking about people that like verbal comfort as their like principal way to receive comfort is such an interesting concept to me, because I can only desire that when it's like all over. It's like once I've like kind of already made it through like the intensity of it or like the processing of it, then I'm like, oh yeah, let's go to verbal. Now you can stop doing things for me. Please stop. Like, actually, please leave me alone, you know? But we can talk about it, you know, for sure. And now I'm like, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's work through it. Or you can say how strong you thought I was and all that stuff. Like, now I'm okay with that. But when I'm in it, girl, shut up.
Shut up. That's so funny. But do you think that saying the thing, sharing how you're feeling, does that help?
Yeah, I think it can. It also just depends on sort of where that space finds itself. So like if it's being practical comfort first, like if someone is, you know, just like coming over and helping me like clean up, or like I'll bring you takeout, or decided like, hey, I want to see you, but I'll coordinate the brunch or dinner or the night out or whatever, and make the group message and all that good stuff. It's like, okay, once we kind of get me in that space of feeling, I don't want to say disarmed, but feeling a little bit more like chilled out and like less like thoughts racing through my head, then yeah, I'll probably like settle in at that space and be like, yeah, let's talk about it for sure. Uh-huh. I think it just takes the getting me comfortable first.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah. No, even in my situation yesterday, the person on the other end was really sharing, giving out their being very vulnerable, sharing all of these things about themselves. Mm-hmm. And apparently, again, like now doing these episodes and learning these things, again, I see the world so differently now.
Yeah.
And so while they're doing it, I'm sitting here like, wow, You needed to talk. You needed to let this out. This is a part of your comfort. Yeah. This is a part of how you are able to deal with the issues that you're having. And then I feel like I had a whole empathetic moment. I'm crying. Aww. When it's not like, and they were like, no, I don't want you to cry. I'm like, these are not my tears. These are yours. I don't know if you knew, but these aren't for me.
As a self-declared empath, I totally feel that. It's like when you get to that space in the conversation where it's like your body feels like it's almost processing something that is not your own. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, no. And just having that awareness of understanding, like, no, it's really just my empathy for you. Like it's overflowing. It's going, you know?
And the fact that I was able to distinguish my tears versus theirs.
Yes.
Gosh, it's
a feeling. And I think when people start to realize that that's happening in their body, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Of course, when that's applicable, not all of us feel that, but when it's applicable, it's like, yeah, I know it's important to be able to start making that distinction. Is this me or is this something else? Mm-hmm. Where's it coming from? Mm-hmm. Do I need to call somebody? Do I need to check on somebody? Mm-hmm. Hey, what's going on? You know?
I feel that.
Well, I guess when we'll get it off our chest.
Yeah, you start. You start the thing.
Getting off my chest today. I don't really think I have much today, honestly. I think I'm doing pretty okay this week. My dad woke up in the ICU and is getting better, so that's nice. Good news is always welcome. So I'm hopeful that on my trip home, I'll actually get to see him and, you know, just like have, you know, whatever that means occur. Also looking forward to just being home for 3 or 4 days and just seeing like my friends there. Yeah. And I hate that it's during the week, but I also love that it's during the week, because I feel like we'll just kind of get to, in a weird way, like get to kind of revisit what it was like when we were in school, you know, and just kind of like, but adult version, like, oh, we're living our normal lives and we're making space for dinner. We're making space for hang out in your kitchen, on your couch, watching a movie, like just super chill, not too much va-va-voom going on. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yeah. And happy that we get to record right before. So, yeah.
Nice. Good, good, good. What are going on? My goals are low-key happening? I think so. I made a vision board at work.
Okay.
We had, like, a vision board party. That was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. It was different. I haven't been in years.
Sounds so fun. Like,
listen, we had a whole meeting that was, hey guys, how do we want to bring back culture into the office? And I was like, this is my kind of meeting. I just like people. Can we just all hang out?
Meanwhile, I hear words like that in my meetings, and I'm like, please, you don't ever say the word culture in my presence ever again. Don't you dare.
I don't know how you work in such an environment. I really, like, these aren't even coworkers that I work with, like, personally. They're not on my team or anything, and I still want to hang out.
I wish.
Though there's some people, like...
I feel like the only time I've ever truly, like, just really valued my coworkers on a personal level was when, obviously, I was in Minneapolis and straight out of college, so lots of other young people, too. And California. Most of my California coworkers were pretty bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty bomb.com.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Today I did learn that there's a Gen Y, Gen Z group within my company, and I was like, why didn't I get this invite? Like, what? Am I old? What? Yeah.
We are.
I wanted to go into the Slack group, like, how old you gotta be to be in this group? But then, like, I felt like that was an old thing to say.
Yeah, it's like, I'm crashing, y'all. I'm a cool mom.
I just want to be young forever. Like, now I get it. Now I get it when people are like, yeah, you're only this age one time. Like, do what you want to do now. Because part of me is like, man, if I was 25 again, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, for sure. But no, okay, so you had...
Okay, sorry. My goals. The vision board, I'm working on that. And then I'm planning a Galentine's Day party. Yay! At the office.
Can I be a gal and a time?
Come on, gal pal. Yes. No, it was someone else's. It was someone else's idea. I'm just kind of taking it and revamping it. But we're like doing a white elephant book swap. Cute. We're gonna talk about periods. We're doing like a donation thing. We're collecting pads and tampons and period supplies for Chicagoland for the people who need it, because your period does not stop if you're homeless. That's all I have to say.
It does not stop. Yeah.
So we're doing that, and then we're going to try and sew. We're going to learn how to sew.
Okay, cute.
So that's our kind of our Galentine's.
What are you hoping to sew? Are you going to do, like, patchwork?
We're making period bags.
Oh, okay, cute. Oh, my goodness.
So instead of just supplying them with things, we're going to make little bags with ribbons and whatnot. I have a bunch of fabric at home that I just need to do something with. So we're going to work on our sewing skills, make these little bags for the girls, and then pack them with
I love this supplies. That's such a cool idea. Yeah. That's such a vibe. That's so cool. I love that. Congrats. Thanks. On the goals and the future event.
Thanks. And then I'm working on my Galentine's Day for my peoples, which I think I'm going to try and make a little bigger, not too big, because it's gonna be a very personal thing that you have to do, but I'm hoping that will be nice as well. So yeah, planning events and looking at our goals for the year and trying to visualize what we want to do. So yeah,
I'm excited and very happy to hear all this good developments. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay, but my one thing about work though that I had this is I really do want to get off my chest. This is the real thing I wanted to get off my chest. So here we go. Sometimes I be feeling real invisible, but I'm trying. Like, is it me? Because I know that I have resting bitch face. Like, I know this about me, but also I'm not a mean person. So, like, treat me like you would treat anybody. So, this has happened twice, okay? Yeah. Once today and once yesterday. Sitting in this area, not a lot of people were in this area,
yeah.
Okay? I sat in this area specifically because not a lot of people are here. Yeah. But there's this one girl, she's new to the office, she sits down. Again, I'm kind of new. I've been there for a few months, but again, I'm kind of new.
Well, only to the Chicago office, right?
Correct. And not a lot of people in the Chicago office have ever introduced themselves to me, have ever spoken to me, maybe have seen me once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
So this girl is sitting here, and then there's another guy who is always in this area, has never spoken a word to me.
Okay.
But then there's this new girl here. She's like somewhere, she's on her phone charging her or something. The guy comes up to her like, hey, I don't think I've met you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting at my desk right next to them. And I'm like, sir, you have never introduced yourself to me. You have never. They? Yes.
Oh, of course.
So then I have to question, is it my blackness that offends you, my guy? That you can't come up to me and ask me what my name is?
See, it's funny to me because, like, again, just like a completely different lens on my end. Because, like, I'm like, if they ignore me in the office, I'm like, please, but they never ignore me in the office. Like, when I used to work in offices, I would sit at my desk where my back would be to the entrance of my cube. Like, I'd have the big headphones on, like, fucking up my hair for the day at work because I'm just like, I need y'all to understand. Yeah. Like, I can't hear you. I am not positioned to want to talk to you, nor do I care. And these people would literally walk into my cube.
You know, that's funny.
All the time.
That's what I do, but I want you to talk to me. Like, yes, I have my big headphones on, but also, I am open to conversation here, okay?
You might have to consider changing up.
No, okay, but I did not have my headphones on. I did not have my headphones on this week, okay? This whole week, I did not have my headphones on.
Oh, then it's just because you're black. Yeah.
Even today it happened. Today it happens, and it's two guys this time. And one of the guys,
which is wild,
he has sat in my seat like last week, and I said, absolutely not. This is my desk. I know we're hoteling this. This is my desk. So he ended up sitting somewhere else. And then this other guy comes in. He's like, hey, I don't think I've met you before. And I'm sitting here like, you've never met me before. And so they just yakking it up. While I'm also trying to work, and so now I'm annoyed that he decided I wasn't good enough to be spoken to, and y'all having a conversation right next to me where I'm trying to work, and
it feels like a comedy skit, like just straight out of like SNL or something. But no, I'm sorry that's happened to you, because that's like awful. Next time, just interrupt him.
I almost did.
Just be like, hey, I'm Christine. I also haven't met you.
I almost did. Because he was also talking. I think this guy,
just be careful of what that yields, because now they...
Because then it would have been a full...
Now they're going to know you.
But also, no. See, that's hard. That's so hard. And we're going to talk about cognitive dissonance in the future. But that really gets me, because a part of me is like, yeah, I want to talk. But then also like, you want to talk, Tyler? Yeah. Like, I also don't want to talk. So I'll get over my feelings, but also I just don't understand why no one felt like they needed to introduce themselves to me when I first started. But you feel like the moment you see a new face, you're like, I gotta know this person. Four different people. And no one wanted to come introduce themselves to Christine.
Yeah, you might have to take the reins a little bit, but again, just remember what that is going to result in. I like to always think about this in every sense of life, dating, friendships, on the streets. If people aren't checking for me, I am happy that they are not checking for me.
I need to be happy about that.
Very, very happy. Actually, there are some people who check for me that I wish would stop. yes.
I just want to be seen. You know what I mean? Again, it's not like I need to be your best friend and we need to go have lunch every day. But acknowledge my presence. Please. It's only the three of us sitting back here.
Yeah.
And you thought, let me have a conversation with this one person and not
that include... is extremely awkward, knowing that it's...
She's sitting right next to me.
Three human bodies and two of them are... Okay, yeah.
She came up to me. She came up to me earlier that day and she was like, hey, you look familiar. We had met each other like years ago in LA. Cool. But then you talk to her and...
So interesting.
I just...
That's... There's so...
And many... y'all want to fix the culture in the office? Yeah. That's what you need to fix.
And this is why I don't want to hear anybody say that word to me, because then I'm going to be like, I have a lot of questions for you, good
that
sir.
That part?
Before we even go further into this meeting, that I have some questions about what you give to the culture, quote unquote.
So, there's that.
Well,
I'm trying to let go of.
You ready to get into the topic for today?
Let's do it.
We are talking about recycling.
Ooh, I like it.
I figured it's something that comes up a lot in my Chicago social life. A lot of friends do, a lot of friends don't, and they have like all these opinions, things, whatnot about it, based on what Chicago does, what it doesn't do. Just like, you know, nationally too, even my friends, some in California mostly did, but some didn't, or they did really badly. So I just thought it was a good time to just kind of come into talking about it, because I feel like there's something for me to learn here, which I did learn a lot, unfortunately. But also just like something to kind of just refresh for everyone who's listening, you know? So in our Two in the Think segment, my first question is, what does reduce, reuse, and recycle mean to you?
I absolutely love that phrase for whatever reason. I don't know why, but when I heard it back in college, I was like, yes, that's what we should all be aspiring to. I don't know. That is the idea of what to do. Like, when people talk about thrifting versus mm-hmm. buying new, that reuse it. Yeah. We do not have to continue to make new things when there are already
so many things
made. Reducing the amount of things that you use. Like, do we need... I love the idea of, like, do we need to put oranges in a container? Yes. It's already in a container.
Like that little net bag ain't enough for you? Or, like, the little plastic bag you might have put it in to take it from the grocery store? That's not enough?
reuse a reusable bag instead of using mm-hmm. new plastic bags all the time. It is the model that the world should aspire to.
Yes.
I believe in the efforts of cleaning it up.
Yes.
And making sure that there is something sustainable here for
something
the future.
Something for us to stand on?
Or we're going to be standing on trash. Do you want to stand on trash or do you want to stand on business? Which one?
I mean, we know the business is hard for a lot of people, but in that space of reduce, reuse, recycle, are there ways that you can think of off the top of your head that you like to reduce?
I do now use reusable shopping bags. I think that has been something that's very West Coast-y. Because mm-hmm. the East Coast, they're like, here, take all the plastic bags. Take them all.
Even with the charge. I feel like the charge doesn't even discourage people on the East Coast.
It discourages me,
like,
okay, straight up. Because now when every cashier asks me, do you want a bag? I got to take a second to think about it.
You're like, do I want to pay 7 cents for each one of these?
I got a bag. You can put it in there. I'll try to fit it into this. So I try to reduce as much plastic that I use. Paper towels. Mm-hmm. I started using reusable rags instead. Like, I bought a bunch of rags. This is what I use. I don't buy paper towels anymore. If I have a spill, wipe it with this. We can reuse this if we need to. Wash it off. Let it dry. Keep it moving. Change it out every week. If it's a big enough spill, okay, time for the next one. Just making sure that I'm using less of those things that you have to use so much
day.
So just trying to do that. What's funny is this brings me back to coupons a little mm-hmm. bit, and the idea of I'm trying to squeeze the last bit of my shampoo before I buy another one. Just trying to reduce how many things that I am buying on a daily basis.
For sure, and it's so important. And then I guess moving from reduce, I think you covered a lot of reuse, so like bags and towels and all those things. Mm-hmm, so then do you recycle? And then if you do, why? And if you don't, why? Okay, why?
I want to.
I mean, at least you're reducing and reusing. They're also effective. So
I'm trying there. And sometimes I'll do. Like, if I am holding a plastic cup and I see there's an option for a blue bin or a brown mm-hmm. bin, I will throw it in the blue bin. But I think I've stopped. Not really stopped, but my recycling has lowered because of something I've heard of. We're not recycling correctly. a 16-ounce Coke bottle or something, you got to take off the little ring around it or the mm-hmm. top or something. Cups have to be clean.
You know more than most people already.
There's so many rules around it that we're not following, and therefore the things in that bag can't be recycled because of that one thing that mm-hmm. you messed up. I think I've seen a commercial where they're like, oh yeah, you want to recycle your laundry detergent, but if it's open and it's spilling on things, that is no longer usable. Yeah. That can't be recycled anymore because it's now contaminated.
Yeah.
So I've stopped recycling for that because it just felt like it was the same thing as throwing it away in the garbage. And I didn't feel like I was making a big
difference. Did you ever wonder if there was a... So it sounds like you stopped recycling because you didn't have confidence in your prowess, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question. It's like, how do you feel like... confident about recycling and your knowledge of it?
And that's recycling in that sense. I feel like I recycle things at home.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And recycling as in...
More in the reuse or reduce sort of section of it?
Which is
another question that I kind of knew that we were inherently answer, is that reduce, reuse, recycle, they are three different terms, but I think a lot of times people kind of intertwine them because they're so related. Like, that's why, we have the little, iconic symbol. Of cycling. Because, it's like reduce, reuse, recycle. It kind of is very related so much that they kind of do start to overlap in a lot of their meaning. So then, do you know what recycled materials become?
No. I always... I always assumed that they became the same thing that they were.
Okay.
But I don't believe that's true. Like, I don't believe if I throw a piece of paper away in recycling that it's going to become paper later.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens
to them. Not, like, far off in the space of that. I think I pretty much was in the same space before I did all this research, obviously. I think, yeah, like, oh, once you recycle something, it's probably just going to become another iteration of sort of what you already
saw. But then that makes me feel weird because, like, people recycle straws and, like, the plastic cups. Are you just... You're not just washing it and putting it back out there.
Not at all. They definitely have to, like, reprocess or break them down and everything.
That's still energy that you're using to do these things. And I feel like that causes more pollution and problems.
We'll talk about that because the alternatives are worse than the energy and carbon we output from processing and remaking things into something else. Okay, and then we'll get into some of the more... start segmenting into the what facts got to do with the segment. When do you think recycling started? Your face and then you didn't laugh. And I'll segment this too. Recycling as in what we know it as today.
The green bins and whatnot.
But then also like just recycling, just the whole idea of like just turning something from something to something new, you know?
19 See, that face made me feel like I gotta go back. Or, no. 19 is where I want to start.
Trust yourself.
Was my mama recycling? you know, I'm gonna say
1925. Not bad, honestly. I'm gonna come back because there's a lot to walk us through.
Come on, cliffhanger.
But you are definitely in at least the right century.
Okay.
Like, for sure. For modern
century.
Day recycling.
Century.
Modern day recycling, for sure. And then from the aspects of just like recycling in general, you know, the answer, ancient times. It's been going on forever.
Yeah,
but just the goals and the ways we do it and, you know, the systems and infrastructure around it in the modern sense, definitely the 1900s.
Can I share my recycling story? So in college, I forget what kind of class it was, but like an interactive class, how to use things, whatever. So we got to create an app or like a user interface website, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we called it Go Recycle.
Okay.
It was a cute little recycling thing to help you with public transportation.
What year was this? I feel like I heard about that app.
That's funny because if it's a real thing, I'd be upset because we never really launched it. It was like, really just an idea.
Maybe I was just talking to you when you were doing it. Sounds really familiar. Sorry, continue.
It was just an idea that we had. So it was to help people pay for public transportation. So depending on how much you recycle, you'd get a certain credit on your MARTA card or whatever you use to do that. So to help out, you know, the homeless or people who just don't have the money to pay for things that, okay, if you can help us recycle, then you will have the funds to do the thing. So it was like this whole thing, where can you find these bins, where you can do this, where you can do that. It was a really fun project and I really wished that it launched and we actually did something with it, but it was just a cute little frame.io kind of thing where you did the clicks, but it never turned into
one of
something.
The mini Georgia Tech prototypes
right out there.
I can't imagine the shit Georgia Tech has.
There should be some. All the ideas that we had should have became a thing. But I really loved that project. It was one project that I will always keep in my brain that I thought was pretty good. But I feel like we ran into some complications and thought, we can't do this. The world's not going to approve of this because society, the government.
Also, we were broke college students. It's like it's kind of hard to like even like I know a lot of people did do it at our school, but it's like I don't know. I think about that sometimes. I'm just like the people who would go into the adventure contest and like go really far with their entrepreneurial ideas at the age of like 20 and 19 and 21. It's like y'all are some different shit than I was. So impressive.
Yeah.
The last couple of questions here. Have you heard of the term wish cycling?
Wish?
Yes.
No.
So wish cycling is the term that basically the recycling industry uses to describe people that recycle things that are completely not recycled.
Hilarious.
And then subsequently ruin the idea of if something can be recycled or maybe goes to a landfill now, depending on what that wish cycling looks like. And then last question here, Have you ever seen a landfill?
Not the blinks. No, and I don't want to. Not in real life. I probably saw like videos or something that they've shown on the internet, but I don't.
I've definitely never seen one either. I am very delighted to share some of the things I learned about them though, in this topic, because some of it's horrifying, a lot of it is kind of cool from like an engineering perspective. So we'll start to segue into the What's the Facts Got to Do With a segment. And so I'm going to start here with sort of the background of why this topic means a lot to me. So in Chicago in particular, a lot of people here do not recycle, and they don't because of stats that go around Chicago from studies that were done back like 2017, 2018, where it showed that only like 9% of what is like put out to be recycled is actually being recycled. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's 9%. Sorry, it's 9% of all garbage. So garbage that is intentionally sent for recycling and not. Mm-hmm. Only 9% of all of that waste is being recycled. And I think that number has now gone up just like a slight bit. Mm-hmm. I won't even quote it because I don't think it's like significant enough to make a big deal of it. Mm-hmm. But the idea of where this problem came from is because, you know, Waste Management, the recycling company or vendor that's popularly used in Chicago, allegedly had a scandal or problem where they were 20 times more likely than any other vendor here, which the other vendors aren't utilized as mm-hmm. much, because I'm assuming Waste Management has, you know, contracts with the city and government and whatnot. But they were 20 times more likely than any other recycling vendor that could be used throughout Chicago to just mark a bin as contaminated. And the idea of that was that allegedly they were marking these bins as contaminated even when they may not have been, because they would get paid twice for them. So you would get paid for picking it up as recycling. And then once it's marked as contaminated, you would get paid for now having to deliver it to a landfill. Mm-hmm. So this problem seems to be sort of the baseline of why a lot of people in Chicago, and maybe even other cities, if similar things have happened, tend to not recycle, even though that is the issue is not that Chicago does not recycle. The issue is recycling. The issue is the idea that people are abandoning it and not doing it as much. Yeah. And so, in fact, now when I see my friends don't recycle, I'm going to be like, I'm going to buy your recycling bin. Yeah. I'm going to help you out. We're going to get you there, because mm-hmm. it's not that Chicago is not recycling, and it's not that it's not helpful to do it. It's that there was just a scandal where that was not happening. Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of oversight into what some of these vendors were doing. And thankfully that has changed. Mm-hmm. So now that we've gotten that out the way of why this means so much to me, this topic, because when I first moved here, a lot of people weren't recycling. I'm like, oh, it might be like Georgia, where I think and anyone who lives in Georgia, please look it up. It's going to be a part of some of our challenge here. I think Georgia doesn't have like glass recycling or something. And so then a lot of people just didn't recycle glass in Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people tried to reuse it more and all these things. And so I think like hearing things like that in Georgia, it's like, well, that makes sense. So then when I would hear people here being like, oh, I don't recycle because Chicago just doesn't recycle, mm-hmm. I thought it was like inherently like they're just literally not, like there's no infrastructure, there's no programs, there's no like facility, but all those things exist. Mm-hmm. It's just people are sort of apathetic now, which is kind of like the circular chicken and egg problem. Like, mm-hmm. you know, which came first? It's like, okay, does Chicago not recycle because the vendors are shit, or does Chicago not recycle because the people aren't invested? Mm. So yes. So moving all the way back to sort of the history of recycling. So recycling started as early as like 500 BC.
Hello.
And so obviously it wasn't what we deem recycling. Like they weren't doing it for environmental concerns, or at least not explicitly, right? Yeah. I mean, I think inherently it is always kind of environmental, mm-hmm. because they were doing it just sort of in the idea that it tended to happen when there were times of distress. So war, famine, just general unrest. And so ways that they kind of saw that happening, it started a lot in Asia and Europe. Okay. So you had your first waste program seen in 500 BC in Athens. Mm. So ancient Greece popping up. Yeah. And so it was their first like municipal dump program. So it was like all of Athens had like an actual like local law and system that said you had to take your trash and walk it a mile away from the city walls. and that's in designated spot and everything, and that's mm-hmm. where how it would be dumped. So kind of crazy that people were, you know, walking
their own trash man.
Yeah, like it. And you know, people can barely get into a bin. That's another topic. And then you see the idea of recycling glass starting as early as like 400 BC. So it was sort of an ancient Turkey, the ancient Eastern Roman Empire. And the glass was seen to be more recycled during times of war, distress. And so it was kind of the idea that when they're having these famines or these wars, they didn't want to have to start making new glass. So it was just take what's already there and then produce new sort of things from what we already have.
That makes sense. Where my 19 came from, I don't know.
No, I mean, you're 19. We'll get back to it. Because, I mean, that's the modern sense of it, for sure, right? Because, I mean, like, I think that's really important to contextualize. So I'm happy you said that. I think, like, recycling and what our topic is about is the idea of the modern day recycling. We are fighting climate change mm-hmm. with this active program, this active effort done by individuals and corporations alike. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you know, the shit they were doing in ancient times, they were just doing it because it was, like,
needed.
This just works. Yeah. Like, you just got to do it.
It just made sense.
Yes. It just made sense. Which again, kind of brings it back to why it should just still make sense, you know?
Which is why I'm very curious if something to start so early in life didn't develop to be this massive thing that is just rule of law.
Yeah.
Rule of law. Yes, we must do this thing. It was so important. It was so beneficial here.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden we're like, throw it all away.
And I'm so happy you said that already, because I know that's going to be probably one of our bigger conversations mm-hmm. after this. Because, I mean, I definitely, on this topic, really tried to focus in on the things that I knew would be helpful for our listeners to really mm-hmm. try to hopefully learn more about recycling and how to get everyone to be a little bit more engaged with it, even if it's just partially.
Yeah.
But I think even in going through that, we're going to come back on tail and be like, but why is this so hard? Like, why is this so... So glass and then metal, as early as 600 BC, ancient Rome, ancient Italy, ancient, and you name it ancient, they probably were doing it. And a lot of that was sort of like the idea of, again, war. So people would melt their metal, their jewelry, to kind of create weapons, or maybe sometimes they like, you know, had a coin system that had in bronze or copper or something. And to just kind of make something that had more value, sort of like, you know, as fine property as an investment, mm-hmm. they would melt the bronze or copper coins down and then make them into like a statue or a heirloom or something that, you know, could just be stored or seen, but also be representative of the value that person kingdom may have held. Nice. Paper, ironically, came a lot later in recycling, which also then kind of made me wonder, when did paper even come into play? But I didn't take time into that, so can't do everything right. So the 9th century in Japan is sort of where the recycling of paper started happening. And so it was a very cultural nuanced thing. So people in Japan actually regarded recycled paper more importantly than newly produced paper. Mm-hmm. And so it would make like all these like beautiful artworks and art pieces and origami and all these things that we know. And so, yeah, that was kind of like the first, I guess, dawning of like seeing recycling for each one of these major things that we know, glass, metal, paper, because those are really the major things that sort of started. And then, of course, in our modern time, we also have plastics.
Yeah. Plastic, bro.
Which I did not look into the deep history of plastics.
I'll do that one.
Okay, that's totally fine for me, for sure. You're like the part two of it. But I did look into the importance of understanding how to recycle plastics as they are now. So we will get into that for sure. So we're coming into, from the ancient times, bring it into the modern day era. So the start of recycling, as we know it, for sort of environmental factors and things like that nature, kind of came more so during war times.
Okay.
So the first instance that you might have really saw a record in history is like the Revolutionary War. Mm-hmm. So sometime in the 1600s. There was just lots of metal work, of course, that was happening. So, taking all the metal things that we had around and refashioning the horseshoes, weapons, whatever they needed, for the time. And then of course, this is all still just being recycled from like a general humans just need to do that shit. Mm-hmm. It's not for the environment yet. We have not gotten there yet. So then you kind of go into the Civil War, which kind of like lays this weird foundation for a partial answer to, what you were sort of talking about, earlier, which is kind of why it stopped. Like, why did we sort of not like continue on this vibe of just noticing that we could just reuse things or modify them or transform them into something better. And so during the Civil War, obviously the blockade on the South caused the South to have to recycle all the shit they had. So people was dropping off their jewelry, they was dropping off their family belongings, they was dropping off fences, steeples, mm-hmm. bells from churches, and their melt pots, pans, farm equipment, and they're melting it down to make ammunitions, rifles, all these things, you know, just fighting to protect our enslavement. Mm-hmm. So basically that's sort of where you started to see the use of metal becoming extremely common in our society, and just understanding how to melt it down and refashion it, so much that of course it happened again in World War One mm-hmm. and World War Two. Mm-hmm. And then sort of after World War Two, you know, we get to the onset of coming out of the Depression. The Great Depression. And that's sort of where we came to this, like, idea of, we had used so much metal to make it through the World War Ones, the World War Twos. And in using all of that metal, we sort of didn't have really any extra around.
Hilarious.
Because we had used it to make so many weapons and all these things. And so then basically from there, when you get out of the Great Depression, people are now sort of in the space of like, I have money, like the economy stimulated. And so our mental mindset kind of switched from scarcity and goods to sort of like, I got the shit, throw it away. Mm-hmm. Whatever. We don't need to care about that. So basically kind of coming into the 1950s, like we weren't really worried about scrap. We weren't really keeping track of, what was disposable, what needed to be disposable, what versus what shouldn't be. We weren't really thinking about reduction. We weren't really thinking about reuse. And then this kind of all led up from that 1950s lifestyle of us becoming more disposable, more sort of wasteful. In the background, you obviously had scientists starting to talk about things like the potential greenhouse effect, which was sort of, I think, back in like the 1860s when that was first brought up. And then like over that century up to sort of 1950s, 1960s, you had people discovering, oh yeah, the atmosphere can hold gases and temperatures are rising and all of these things. And so it wasn't really until like 1970 when we had our first Earth Day, which was sort of in response to the Vietnam War, oil spills, like the science that was coming out saying that literally the Earth is getting hotter. Yeah. Things are getting dangerous. That's when the modern day sort of recycling as we know it regained its popularity as a mainstream concept. So it was sort of the first time that recycling became something that we didn't do during a time of distress.
Yeah.
And I do air quotes because your planet's dying. I think we're in distress.
We're in distress every day. Every single day. And you're telling me we've been in distress for 750 years now? And y'all's...
I mean, longer. The first guy who the first guy who literally noticed things with the environment was literally in 1896. Yeah, he was like a Swedish scientist. I'm not going to try to say his name. I think it's Svante Arrhenius. And he literally just like had this model where he was like, I'm pretty sure like us burning coal and fossil fuels and all this shit is going to cause carbon dioxide to get stuck in the atmosphere. And everyone was like, nah, that's not really, I don't think that's a thing. And, you know, just kind of kept debunking it. And that was called the greenhouse effect. So what he said was the greenhouse effect. And obviously it's what we hinge so many of these theories and models on now. Yeah. And so then in the 1930s was when people really started to kind of like realize that things were warming up, but it still was like very singular voices that like, even at that point were like, yeah, like, I think we should think about this. I think we should really, do more. And it wasn't really until the Cold War that we took it seriously.
There's because, too many wars for you to not figure it
it's,
out.
It's honestly insane to me how many of our topics just come back to the fact that like war caused us to make any type of progress. And it's like, y'all, we gotta, I want to hold everybody's hand. I'm holding everyone who's listening. I'm holding both your hands. We need to sit down and understand that war should not be the only way we find advancement, especially in a society where hopefully we're getting a little bit further away from that. You know, it's like, we got to start figuring out how we just find an advancement just for, you know, altruism's sake. Like, do we care about each other? Do we want to see our species advance, be prosperous, be happy, be free, you know? Like, clearly.
They just want power. They just want me. It's, I mean, our government, I feel like, is very short of Think of any movie you have watched with a supervillain who's mm-hmm. like, I'm going to do all of this to the world, and then like the sun goes away and everything's dark. That is what our life is.
Oh, absolutely.
It just doesn't.
We fully are in a dystopian novel.
Yeah.
Like.
Did you see someone said that America or like the world is the black people's dystopia?
I believe that. I
believe future.
That. I feel that. Like, I think, like, the only difference is that in dystopian novels and shit, you just have that one character, that one group that's doing some shit to fuck it up. We just ain't got that. And
we don't.
Honestly, that's the problem.
I have been saying, since, like, the Black Lives, and we'll get here. Yeah. There will be a future
Unfortunately,
topic,
we will get here, for sure.
But
Black Panther's topic? Oh, please. Oh, my God.
Black Lives Matter? Yes,
oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Because I feel like there wasn't that one voice. Like, during the Civil Rights era, we did have those singular voices that were, hey, we gotta listen to this guy. He knows what he's
saying.
There
were so many, though. I mean, it's like...
There were, yeah. But it was at least a person, a face to look mm-hmm. at now.
They kind of funneled to one space, yeah.
They have scared us so badly mm-hmm. that no one wants to step up to be that
also
person.
Indoctrinated us so badly. Some people don't understand that there's a reason to step up as well. And I try to really hold compassion. Learned that from last week.
Uh-huh.
Try because I don't understand it. but I try to hold compassion for people that really are not in that space to be able to and I hate to say it this way, y'all, but critically think, you know, and just really understand that, like, if I ask what, where, how, when, why a couple of times and shit don't make sense, I probably need to figure out something. I probably need to look up some stuff. I probably need to try to change a little bit in how I'm moving, how others move around me, you know, sort of thing. So
do people in power not have empathy? Like that's what it makes me feel like.
They definitely don't have empathy and they definitely don't have compassion. I mean I mean when you think about it, and like all our therapists or people who study minds out there, let me know, but I'm assuming most of these people that are in power are likely sociopaths and psychopaths and clinical narcissists and Machiavellianists.
That's the only
and
way
people
make
like
it there.
Yeah, it's like there's some of, and I don't want to say there's some of the worst people, because that's not fair to those mental sort of, you know, states. Like, I mean, I think they're people that have mental states that we don't teach how to embrace their humanity over just giving them the power to just fuck everyone up. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's nothing stopping people with those clinical sort of mental states from just being the worst things ever, because this world actually rewards people for being selfish, especially American culture and society. I won't say the world overall is super inspiring of that, but definitely here in America for sure.
Yeah. Sorry, we can get back on topic.
No, you're fine. I love it. I love the segues. So basically, you know, we come to the 1970s, first Earth Day. Like, we're getting back into the popular recycling. We're understanding that global warming is actually a thing, even though it's been developing all this time. And so the 1970s is where we got the Mobius Loop. That is actually the name for the recycling little circle.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to give Gary Anderson a call out. Hopefully he was a good person. But he was a 20-year-old student who literally just entered a competition and drew the recycling symbol, and we still have it today.
I love it.
Did you know
the
recycling symbol is not regulated?
What do you mean?
It's not regulated. So it can literally just be put on things that are not necessarily recyclable.
Shut the... Why would you do that?
Why would you do that? And I think the hope is that no one is doing that. But there have definitely been things apparently that have been marked
like
with lots of plastics that are marked the wrong one, or because there's seven different types of plastics.
Oh my god!
Into a little bit later, so sometimes they'll just have the symbol in there, but they won't even have the number in it. And I'm sure people who
so that's what you gotta look out for.
Yeah, I'm sure people who have tried recycled plastic sometimes have seen it with the symbol, but then it doesn't tell you which number it is, and the number does matter to if it's important to even try to recycle it versus just kind of being like, I can just go in the trash. Sort of thing from a plastics perspective. Yeah, that was me today when I found that out. And it was talked about a lot in a lot of the things I kept coming back. Just this idea that there really isn't a true and triable way or true and what is the word? Just like a really like verified way of saying this symbol actually is on matching what it's what it says it is.
No blue check mark. It's not verified.
Apparently not. Gosh. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's a thing. I thought that was a really interesting development. And so then as we keep going here, do you have any questions before I keep going? Because now we're getting into the reasons, I think, of why recycling is such a hard idea for us to sustain. So 1970s, we have, you know, Vietnam War, oil spills, climate change is becoming a real thing. Mm-hmm. Greenhouse effects, global warming is sort of coming up as the topic of conversation. Would you believe me if I told you that literally we were sending materials to China to recycle? Yes. So there were a couple of decades, and I couldn't really find...
I can believe it, actually.
I couldn't really find, like, when it exactly started, but mm-hmm. it definitely seemed to at least be from 1995 to 2016. And we were...
When I'm alive? Yeah,
we were literally shipping hella materials, mostly plastics from what I can see in the research. But even paper, of course, too, because I think the first, like, things that ever went there was, like, a Chinese businesswoman became, like, the first female billionaire in China from making, like, a paper business. And so paper was definitely being sent over there, too. But I think plastic became one of the bigger sort of exports of that. And so, yeah, China was taking on, like, loads of our material and recycling it. But then they stopped because at some point they... And apparently China was recycling half of the world's materials. So, like, it wasn't even just the U.S. It was, like, a lot of people. But they stopped because it was literally becoming so overwhelming for their country because they realized that they couldn't process all types of plastics, of course, as we know now. And it was starting to litter their actual...
They were low-key taking our trash.
Yeah,
they didn't realize.
Their land. And so...
That's funny. Because I was going to say what I... The reason I believe we kind of stopped doing it is because those jobs kind of went away.
Yeah.
The, like, back before being a, I don't know, a welder or someone who melts metal, etc., those are big jobs. Mm-hmm. So that's what majority of the people were doing. Whereas now... We're not doing, I mean, maybe it is a big industry. I don't know. But I don't feel like those trades, those things for people to know how to do it. Again, we have to send it to a whole nother country to do it because what we don't know how to.
And to your point about sort of the trades, that's another thing that's sort of been talked about in a lot of the research is how a lot of recyclable materials sort of change their priority based on markets, unfortunately. So even China taking a lot of this stuff came from the idea that corporate recycling started in Germany in 1991. So like recycling is new. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like in the idea of like, we're trying to save, reduce, reuse, recycle from like a waste standpoint of our modern day society. And then electronic recycling was introduced the same year, 1991, also in Switzerland. So it's like, once you kind of have these policies coming into place in some places and then it's influencing other spots in the world. Mm-hmm. The conversation of global warming is probably way more informed now. It's 21 years later.
Are there meetings? Like, in my mind, all the countries meet. Like, there are international meetings. Why is this not on the agenda?
Yeah, I didn't look up that board. I know there's a board there. They do meet, and it's like the climate change sort of, I forget the name of it right now, but there's a global association or group that works towards keeping everyone sort of within the limits of what they hope to achieve with the output of carbon dioxide, methane gas, mm-hmm. all these things that contribute to greenhouse gases and the killing of our ozone layer. But this is not a climate change episode. It's just recycling. It is. I'm trying my best to stay focused on recycling because it's just so hard to go off track for sure. But no. And so, like, after China stopped in 2016, they then put a ban saying, like, you literally can't send anything here. If you do, we will literally send it back. Mm-hmm. So then the U.S. moved to sending things to Malaysia.
Just like an American way you mean.
And so Malaysia was taking things for a little bit. I think Thailand might have been there somewhere, too. And then they started being like, we can't handle this. So then it was, like, literally, I think, like, 2018, like, 19, everyone was like, nah, you gotta, you know. So
figure it out yourself.
So basically, as you can see from all of this, like, we kind of started in the 70s. And then whatever happened in there probably was mostly paper, maybe some metal, but it seems like electronics, like plastics, even some paper and things became more of an export. China, Malaysia, Thailand, whoever can help. And so when these people backed out because they're now having their issues, they're now having their own landfills create, and we'll go into that next, being created and being exasperated by our waste, they had to stop. And mm-hmm. so then you do that and it's like, well, what does America have for a recycling program? You guessed it, not much. So essentially our recycling programs are all really infantile.
Like don't tell me that.
I mean, they're all...
Because I'm going to be I'm... You know...
And I mean, don't get me wrong, people have, again, been doing it since the 70s, technically. But a lot of, let's be clear, we know how that goes in America. That's state by state. That's yep. city by city.
Yep.
So it's like, it's better to assume that most of these people didn't really get their shit together, for lack of a better way to put it, probably until, like, the early 2000s. That's truly. Or even start figuring out, like, yeah, we probably need to do a little bit more sort of thing. So, landfills. We'll come back here. So, the reason we recycle, and I think that's a big thing that I think a lot of people don't really understand, is because we're trying to reduce landfills.
Yeah.
So, landfills, especially back in the day, now we'll get to that too, mm-hmm. but back in the day, they were just, you know, just these pits mm-hmm. of trash. And so that's, you know, paper, that's plastics, that's metals, that's glass, that's food, that's
clothes,
plastics, it's clothes, it's like, so it's so much stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all just in this mass, so these things are degrading with a very low oxygen environment, and so then that releases methane. And so methane and carbon dioxide too, right? Because mm-hmm. I mean, there's some oxygen getting in there, so mm-hmm. some carbon dioxide is being released too. But methane is 30 times more lethal to the greenhouse gas effect and just sort of whatever's going on to our ozone layer and depletion. So when you just have this open space of landfills that's just releasing methane gas at overwhelming amounts, more than carbon dioxide, and it's already so much more lethal to the environment, this is a problem.
Yeah.
This is an issue. So recycling is aiming to say that whatever could go to the landfill, we're not doing that. We're sending it back to this process facility so that it can be reprocessed, made into something new. Reprocessed, put back into materials.
Yeah.
Reprocessed and not be outside just landfilling and becoming a mess. The bright side of this problem is that because of how ineffective we are at recycling, landfills have just had to become a little better. So mm-hmm. now landfills are kind of like these, they're their own business. And they have like engineers there who put, you know, layers of clay and stuff down to protect groundwater. So it's like a landfill is literally like this dug out sort of like big bucket mm-hmm. in the ground. And so it's like these layers are literally keeping all of this stuff just contained so that the things that leach out will leach out less. So less of the plastics, less of the carbon dioxide, less of the whatever that they don't want to get out into the soil, into the groundwater. And in this, they have to put pipes and apparatuses to literally start
to...
Capitalism.
I just don't understand how there wasn't something so that it didn't get...
Agreed.
...this far.
Yes, completely agreed.
Why are we not thinking of ways of... Instead of reducing how many things come to the landfill, why are we not trying to figure out how to get rid of this landfill? What can we do with the things that are already here?
Yeah. And I think I honestly might end up doing a landfill episode. That sounds crazy, but it literally is there. It's an own top. It's its own topic. It's insane. Like I was literally overwhelmed by what I discovered about landfills, in doing this research.
I mean, imagine a place that doesn't have access to a landfill.
Oh yeah. I mean, we will get there too. And then also think about the fact where landfills are. They're usually in like very underrepresented communities, black and brown communities in cities or
the air quality in these areas.
And then it's just, I mean, well, hopefully a little bit better now because at least they're sucking and siphoning out most of the methane gas.
And putting it where?
They're putting it into the actual energy of the landfill. So it's just going in to feed and power the landfill itself because the landfill is a literal machine now. It's insane. I mean, like, when I heard landfill, I thought of just like dump in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it's like literally it's its own mechanism.
It's crazy.
And it has like pipes in the bottom of it that literally will take water that like leaches out from things and it will filter it and put it back into like oceans and lakes and things.
Okay, so
like they've kind of put like these recycling efforts at, or yeah. I should say reuse efforts mm-hmm. at the landfill itself, which helps a little bit. But no, to your point, we should be figuring out how we reduce the output of things that are going to have to go correct. To the landfill. And that question we will come back to too mm-hmm. as well, because it is, yeah, it's important. So before we move on from landfills, do you want to guess where the biggest landfill is? You can do country, you can do city if you're feeling,
well,
you
know. It's definitely, what? What did I say? It's definitely in America.
Definitely in America. I love that you said, I know it's here.
I know it's here. But where? Where has a lot of land? I'm going to guess like somewhere in like Montana.
Okay. That's not a bad guess, actually.
Somewhere nice. Where there's not a lot of people, there's not a lot of like buildings, infrastructure, there's just land. And then also I feel like it needs to be near water. It needs to be on a coast somewhere.
So I think I couldn't figure out all of that, but I think they try to avoid it being near water. But if it is, they do a lot to try to make sure that obviously the leaching or anything that happens can't impact the water source.
That's interesting.
So I'm sure they have some near water for sure. I don't know that that is ideal or not ideal. If there are any people who work on landfills out there, please let us know, because I am so intrigued by them. So the U.S. is correct. It is Las Vegas.
Vegas?
Yes.
No, with not on my bingo card.
Wanna guess how big it is?
No, I don't.
It is 2,200 acres large. That is 1,250 soccer fields.
Compared to the size of Nevada or even Las Vegas, is how what percent?
Actually, let's see how many acres Las Vegas is.
Las Vegas. And everyone goes to Las Vegas. Everyone goes to Las Vegas.
I think that's kind of probably why it's there. But I mean, it's also a landfill, so I'm sure there's lots of things that come from around the country, which we're going to get into too.
I've actually never been to Vegas, so someone take me this year. Okay.
Thanks. I love that.
Not to go see the landfill, though. Actually, I think that would be cool.
So yeah, so Vegas is 83 square miles, and this landfill is 3.4 square miles.
That's still too much.
It's insane. No,
it shouldn't be.
I mean, at the 1,250 soccer fields, I was like, that's. Like, my brain can't even imagine.
No. Like a professional soccer field, like a high school soccer field.
And again, I think
it doesn't matter.
And I think it's important to even back up and remember that, like, that doesn't guarantee, like, we don't know when that landfill was made. So we don't even know if it's a modern day landfill where they have all these things going on, like methane, recycling and all this stuff, like the layer underneath the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. I mean, I'm assuming it is, right? I shouldn't say we don't know. We can look it up. Yep. But it's like, I don't know off the top of my head. And I don't know that about any of all of the landfills there are, because there are so many of them that were sort of listed as like being really large ones, like 570 acre landfills in South Korea, 830 acre ones in Shanghai, like 227 acre ones in Guangzhou. It's like there's just so New Delhi, 500 acres. It's there's so many big ones. And it's mm-hmm. like these, and you hope again that they are these like modern.
Yeah.
Landfills that are doing all this crazy sort of tricked out shit with trying to be sort of reusing some of the stuff. But if they're not, that's so much area of just methane gas going into the air, which is insane.
Yeah.
So we recycle again so that we can reduce landfills. It's to hopefully
now, if
it's
they were
one
to reduce them.
It's one effort, right? The other effort, then, to your point, is trying to find a way to reduce sort of the production value of when people make fashion brands, when they make their detergent bottles, when they make whatever it is that they sell. Can they do something to make it from something that is more easily recyclable? Yeah. Which is, I do think a lot of places, I won't say a lot of places, I think like our major mainstream mainstream corporations could do better.
Yeah.
But I know there are at least a lot of alternatives coming up, you know, like powdered dish detergent that is coming in like, you know, bags or paper, like pallets and stuff instead of, you know, coming in these bottles, because those detergent bottles usually aren't able to be recycled much after that. Most of them are actually made from the already recycled stuff. Mm-hmm. Ironically enough. Any questions so far? I know I've thrown a lot at you.
What I want from the corporations, okay? Because why can't everything be like the big jugs of water, mm-hmm. right? Where can I go to a grocery store and refill my same laundry detergent container with this liquid versus I gotta... Do you look at the shelves in grocery stores? There's so many. And you know, I'm upset. And yeah. I have nothing else to say.
I get it for sure. And that's the thing. When you look at the stores, it's like, wow, so much. And I think that's my goal after this episode. Like, I've already been, I think, pretty aware of trying to buy things in a way that is environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. What I learned from this is that I can get way more environmentally friendly. And so I'm already in there staring at nutrition labels. Now I'm gonna be staring at the little triangle being like, what number is that?
My Morbius symbol.
Not Morbius, Mobius.
Mobius, sorry.
I love that. Morbius honestly would have been a serve. Okay, so now we're gonna get into wish cycling.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about that before we get into sort of ways that people might be able to better prioritize recycling, because I want everyone who's hearing my voice to recycle in some way. Mm-hmm. Please, it's important. So wish cycling is the idea that people are just throwing shit in the recycling bin because they are hoping. Christine,
and if it looks like a duck, I think it's a duck.
This ranges from garden hoses to Christmas trees, batteries, propane tanks, thankfully empty. Like, but just like insane. You put that shit in the igloo coolers.
But can't, okay, I do get it. I get it. I get where the people are thinking.
Yes.
But did you do a little search?
Just a little.
Did you just a little. Can I recycle this?
And it really is that simple these days. And I think like I have much more sympathy for people back in like the 70s, mm-hmm. or even like the early 90s, or even like the early 2000s. But now it's like, baby, it's right there. Yeah. Like, you can do this. You can just be like, hey, Alexa, hey, Google, hey, Siri, don't any of you turn on. you know, you can do this, and you can ask it, you know? Yeah.
So then, well, okay, so I get it. I get that it's because, you know, I've got this thing, and I don't know what to do with mm-hmm. it. It doesn't seem like it should go in the trash. Where else can I put it? Do you know, I don't know if in your research you looked at, how can you get rid of those items
yes.
without it going to a landfill, without recycling it wrong? What is the best way to?
So they usually have, like, specific collection agencies or things for that. So you would have to really just, like, get online and be like, I have, you know, this bin of batteries I want to get rid of. So you type in battery recycling or battery sort of collection, and there's usually something nearby, hopefully, depending on your city, your town, whatever. And there may not be one. So then, unfortunately, if you really are dedicated to it, which, you know, I think at the point of like batteries and all these other stuff, like that's extra points, that's mm-hmm. extra credit. So I'm not going to hold anyone to that. But if you are really committed, apparently a lot of them have like ways that you can ship it to them. Okay. So there are options for getting rid of that garden hose, those batteries, that propane tank, but it is not your blue bin.
It's just not easy. No, everyone wants it too easy.
Yeah, for sure. And then, and you know, going back to the idea of what wish cycling does, now that that propane tank is in your blue bin, your blue bin is literally like not going to be recycled for the most part, because they don't know if you had it fully emptied, and it does impact the processing of if they tried to melt that metal down and now there's propane on it. Fire at the plant, you know, if they try to melt that plastic down and now there's detergent all over it, who knows if it's going to even like come back and affect the actual physical properties of the plastic that's going to be remade. Paper, yeah, it's this contamination is like really, it's really important and it's really big, which is also why cleaning out your containers, metal, paper, plastic, whatever they are, unless they're compostable, is important too, because, you know, too much food is also a contamination as well. Yeah.
But that's hard. That's such a hard thing. You're walking down the street, you've got your Starbucks cup in your hand, and it's time to throw it away. There's no sink for me to rinse this cup out. There's no way for me to clean it before I put it in the recycling bin. Mm-hmm. Which is why I started just putting it in the trash can versus recycling.
Well, in some of those Starbucks cups now, I don't know. I don't go to Starbucks at all, but I hope they're compostable now. So if they're compostable now you would just hopefully want to find a compost bin, which if you work at a corporation, they should have a compost bin. So it's like if
we just have recycling.
You only have recycling? That's crazy. I mean, Chicago, I forgot we're in Chicago. Chicago just started a compostable program, so that makes sense. But in most other cities, your corporation probably already has a
more
compostable.
On the West Coast,
Sure. California, Arizona.
I remember when Mo moved
Portland,
to Seattle, she
Washington.
Started composting. Mm-hmm. She was like, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's
really, it's
it's a and law. It's really, to
and yeah, you have to. Like, they literally will find your ass if they like open your if they open your bin and everything. Yeah, city by city, state by state. And so I think that is kind of unfortunately where we're gonna have to go one day. Is like
it's literally like point. The mistakes of one person affecting everybody, mm-hmm. and that person just really not caring. Yeah. That you're making it worse for everyone else.
Yeah. And honestly, then, that's and on a crazy scale too. Like, this is not even like small scale.
No.
Like, this is insanely large. So yeah, so that's sort of the wish cycling side of it. And then I'm gonna kinda pop into sort of how you can recycle better and what you should prioritize. So metal and glass are pretty much indefinitely recyclable. Mm-hmm. So like they really will probably never really play out of being able to be just reused over and over again. So to everyone listening, if you don't just reuse your metal things or your glass things, at least recycle them. Yeah. Because that's going to be so helpful to just pop it in the bin. If that's all you put in there, that's all you put in there. That's all you can commit to. That's all you can commit to. Mm-hmm. Your canned food goods, your pet food, your Topo Chico bottles, like whatever you can commit to, your beer bottles, whatever you can commit to that. You know, if you can't do paper or you don't understand the plastics, don't do that, mm-hmm. but at least do something, right? Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. and to all my, you know, super hygiene girls out there, you know, raised by a black mama who's like, you got to have everything in this place. Plastic bags are no, you do not put your recycling in a plastic bag. I cannot tell you
how many times
I'm holding everyone's hands right now. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people come to my house and open my trash cans and go, which one is recycling? I'm like, one does not have a bag in it. That is recycling. And then it concerns me because I'm like, so people are out here recycling in plastic bags. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. That literally contaminates your whole lot. It should not be in a plastic bag.
Because there is a plastic bag in the recycling bin next to my desk.
No. And if it is, you probably have to check the bag. The bag might actually be like specifically made from like recycled materials.
No, it's the same one that's in the trash bag.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. No. They need to fix that. That's fucking
insane. I'll check my
trash bag. That's actually insane. Because I know they do make recyclable bags of some sort, but those are made from different materials. And then some of them are compostable too, so some of the plastic, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. bags. Mm-hmm. Yes, so like no plastic bags in your recycling bins. That's the bin or your trash bag if you can, or your trash can if you can. If you are just so obsessed and you need it to be in your actual bin in your house, please make sure you dump it out the plastic bag.
Yeah.
Like at least let it get a chance to go and be recycled. So that's glass, metal, plastic bags, paper. Paper's the next best thing. Like 66% of paper that goes out there is recycled. And I think it gets about 3 to 4 times from what I could kind of remember off the top of my head will be recycled and keep being used again. So go for paper. Where we get weird is plastics. Yeah. I'm not going to say don't do plastics. But I'm kind of going to say you're better probably just reducing your purchases of plastic. Yeah. So saying I'm not buying stuff in plastic containers than even trying to recycle them. So of the 7 types of plastic, only plastics 1 and 2 are basically recyclable. 3 through 7 are not. So when you have like a plastic thing that has 3 or 7 on it.
What's the point of the number?
I don't know. I think it represents a different type of plastic. So so 1 is... Oh God, I had this somewhere and I can't find it now. But it represents like a different type of plastic. So then that's going to be like thickness and stuff. So like for instance, plastic 3 is PVC, which like we've all touched PVC. That's like they're not going to be able to do anything with that. That shit is so thick and unmovable. And if it probably melts, it's probably just the most terrifying thing. Plastic 4 is like shopping bags. So, you know, most black households, you got your little...
I got my little cabinet, my little drawer.
Plastic shopping bags. And yeah, those are plastic number 4 and they cannot be recycled. So like not even, I mean, so much
so
to the point
why
that...
why are we using so many of them?
And then plastic 6 is like styrofoam or properly named styrene, which is one of the worst things ever. Like it apparently takes like anywhere from 200 to 500 years for styrofoam to just even... degrade fully outside, so it's just literally just a constant source of like whatever gases it's going to become.
So I feel like this is where reuse comes into play.
Reduce as well. Mm-hmm. Recycle. We have to do all three. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said, you know, at the beginning of the episode, you doing reduce and reuse, still great, because yeah. all three matter. They mm-hmm. they matter just as much as the other one. Mm-hmm. One is not the be-all, yeah. catch-all. Yeah. If we only rely on one, we are not going to succeed.
Look at the symbol, y'all. They connect. They all work with each other.
Oh, yes. Okay. So when it comes to plastics 1 and 2, mm-hmm. those two will mostly be recycled. And if you start noticing things that are not 1 or 2, stop buying it. What does it say on the lotion
bottle?
It's a 1. My lotion bottle is a 1. Yay. So, and also know that even with plastics, once that plastic 1 or 2 is recycled, it's only going to be recycled 1 or 2 more times before it's even met its life of being recycled.
Okay.
So in general, plastics are just not it, yeah. y'all. Like, we just really need to reduce our purchases of plastic, or just find a way to reuse yeah. the shit that we do have. So maybe it's, if you do like that lotion, can you find it in a really large size that is now not in a bottle? Yeah. Is it in like a little, I don't know, something that is much better than the actual plastic yeah, container.
That's tough.
It's very tough.
I do, like, my little part of not using plastic is bringing in my own mug to the office.
Yeah, that's good.
So that I don't use the plastic cups that
that's are really good. Yeah. there. I do that, too. Like, it's really good. I used to do that when I was in the office. Yeah. So, no, that's really good. And I love that you do that. Any questions about that?
The things I did have one, but I think I've lost it. No, I'm just peeved. I'm over here upset. No, I did have a question about plastics, but maybe that's for a plastics episode later. No, I lost it.
You're fine. So, I did want to say to all the humans out there who I know are saying, "Well, recycling's not that great. It's not that useful." I don't know why we do that. Okay, you're not wrong. Again, it needs to be done in combination with reduction and with reuse. And if you're not doing all three, then just stop. At this point, you need to do all three for sure. I even saw some things that talked about how, especially on an individual scale, so on a corporate scale, recycling is absolutely necessary because corporations are producing probably 66% of our waste. So it's like if they weren't recycling, then we'd be even worse. Mm-hmm. So it's important that corporations recycle. Honestly, hopefully Illinois gets on it, or Chicago gets on the compost program even faster, because it's important for them to compost as well too, because, you know, just food waste alone, depending on where you are in the world, goes anywhere from 30% to 60% of the waste that's out there. That's crazy. That's a crazy range.
Upsetting.
Makes no sense, you know?
30% to 60%?
Yeah. And that's just, again, depending on what you're looking at, like what stat article, like space geography, but it's pretty much like anywhere within that range. And so it's like the fact that people aren't prioritizing composting, which in itself is a form of recycling as yeah. well, a form of reuse, a form of reduction. Mm-hmm. It's important to consider that. And so other things that might be good for people to consider who just, they feel like at the end of this episode, they are not going to be able to recycle. Other actions that were seen to be significantly equivalent or even better, were limiting things like having a car-free life.
Shut up, because I've been considering. Don't do that. Don't say that to me.
Avoiding long haul travel, so any flights that are more than 6 hours long, and reducing the consumption of red meat. So these are other things for people.
Why?
I think it's probably just all the cow gas. You know, when cows fart, they're releasing methane.
I meant for all three. Like, why are these three things the...
So it's from the individual perspective.
Okay.
So when you think about recycling from a corporate perspective, it's just so much, mm-hmm. right? And versus individual, it's like, I think individual trash, if I remember correctly, only makes up like a third of all recycling materials. Mm-hmm. So like, that's still a significant number, don't get me wrong. But like, if one third of the people of all of us are not doing that, then it's like, okay, it's one third of a third, mm-hmm. so it's significantly less. Mm-hmm. Whereas like 6 hour plus flights, they're producing a lot of emissions. You know, like your car is producing a lot of emissions. Like you eating red meat is buying into this market that's producing a lot of emissions. And so you on an individual level, when you do these things, are committing a significant impact by doing it, because you alone are on the individual footprint reducing so much.
Gotcha.
And so if a lot of people did that, then yeah, it actually makes a large impact overall.
We should just... I am curious. Well, I don't know if recycling would have been a part of it, but the time that we were on lockdown, did that help at all with the emissions, with the climate change, with all of the things that are happening? Because, again, in my mind, I'm like, can we just all just take a break?
It definitely did. So there were lots of, I won't say lots, but I do remember there being instances of conversations like ecosystems coming back to a little bit more of like some, not equilibrium, but something towards the space of being more back to where they were. And I think there were even instances of like some species like finding that they were repopulating themselves a little bit better just because we weren't as out there. There were definitely a lot of things like that. And definitely just the fact that people weren't driving as much or going to work as much, definitely less emissions from people's cars and travel and all that good stuff. So that was definitely something that was happening for sure. I don't know.
America's self-sabotage is, it's wild to experience, to be a part of.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it's wild to be a part of because it's not like we don't have examples. Like there are other countries that do have better recycling programs that we could literally just look at and copy, or just learn from. It's a lot. We're gonna come back into that because this is my last thing here, and then I'm gonna come back to our conversation on this. So I just kind of wanted to give people a chance to understand what your recyclable items become.
Okay.
And then also maybe just like talk about where some good recyclable programs are so that if you do start to look up things in your own state, town, city, and you're like, huh, that's not great. Like, what are some good examples or maybe some better resources for me to find stuff? You can just kind of know where to maybe look.
I think I did have a question when you asked me a question. And I can wait if you want to.
Cool.
So then, because going into that realm, where... One, when recycling, should you separate these things? I know that there is, one big thing and it has paper or aluminum, blah, blah, blah. Put it in here. Should you do them separately?
So it depends on your city, state, country's program. So like, for instance, in some places in California, they do have you separate it more out than just recycling, compost, trash. Sometimes it's like aluminum versus glass versus XYZ. When I lived in Spain, they definitely had a glass versus paper versus like all these other things. So, so it just depends on where you are.
Okay.
And theoretically, your bins, wherever you are, should hopefully tell you what should go into it.
Sure.
Though, of course, that's a problem because sometimes it gets like eroded or messed up or it just isn't super clear. So again, when in doubt, just going to look it up is going to be your best bet. But yeah, it just depends on where you are, unfortunately.
Okay. And you're about to get into where you can go if there isn't a recycling person who picks it up.
Oh, no, I'm just going into like what your recycle items come into.
Okay. So then I don't know if you know, but I'm curious because, we've got the garbage men who come. Is there also a separate recycling man?
Yeah. So theoretically, depending again on where you are, country, state, town, however the infrastructure set up, theoretically there is a recycling truck and a garbage truck and a compostable truck.
Okay.
So if you have compostable programs, again, in Chicago, we're just getting that. But yeah, like California stuff, they have different people that come through.
Okay.
So and sometimes depending on the place, I think I've also seen it where they all can come at once and then the truck maybe sort of have like separate cabinets, but I think usually they're all different people from what I understand. And then again, to your point, if you don't have composting in your city or recycling in your city, there's usually, unfortunately, a private way you can do it where you just pay, like a fee per month or per year and then they provide you with a bin, or something so you can recycle or compost, which, obviously, people shouldn't have to pay to...
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, people shouldn't have to pay to help this world be better. So I don't think that's something that I'm going to encourage unless you really just have it like that and you can spend a little extra, go for it. But I think this is really on our governments to do better. Anything else on that?
No.
Okay. So I'm just going to go into some things that we know we recycle and then what they become. So aluminum, which you might see in like soda cans and things like that. So aluminum will actually be, after its recycled state, so being processed and made into new material, that new material can be used to make other aluminum cans. It can also produce bicycle parts, airplane parts, train tracks, pipes. So like it's big stuff, y'all. This isn't small things, you know? And yeah, it takes a lot to sort of get to those spaces, but it's worth it, you know?
Is there anything about aluminum that you have to do as well? I don't know if you will talk about that, like the whole, you've got to take the little round thing off of your plastic bottles in order for it
to be recyclable. Oh, we can definitely do that for sure. And I love that you asked that. So with aluminum or with metals and stuff, I think it's just cleaning. So okay. Just making sure that, like, if there was food content on it, just like, you know, washing it out and making sure it's actually clean. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have any problems with like paper on the outside. I think that shrink wrap thing that you're talking about, that's on plastic bottles. Mm-hmm. I think if that's on anything, you have to take it off, because I think it's pretty much just an unrecyclable piece of strip. And I don't know. I feel like some, again, depending on where you are, country, state, city, I hate that I have to say that, because it's so ununiform, such a chaotic mess.
And that brings me back to daylight savings time.
but it's such a just mess. And so I think there are some places that if you do forget to cut off the wrap of the plastic, like the Coca-Cola label, whatever, mm-hmm. they'll just cut it off and do it themselves.
Because that's a job.
But, yeah, it is. But theoretically, yes, you have to take that off of your plastic. Like, anything that's on your plastic should be taken off, theoretically.
So even the wrap, even the...
Yeah, I would say anything. And then you have to check the caps. So caps are not always made of the same material.
Shut up!
As the container itself. So yeah, so the bottle cap or even like the container lid, like, just, it might not be the same material. So if it's not marked on the lid or cap itself, just throw that in the trash.
Because I was gonna ask about like the little tab on your aluminum cans, because I feel like I've heard people having to take that off as well. But I feel like
that's fine. That's really fine. Because it's attached to it, so that whole thing theoretically is fine. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's fine. If anyone else has heard something differently, let me know. But I'm pretty sure that one's fine. Yeah, so that's so kind then, of like most, and then even with like a carton, like boards or whatever. So, if it's just cardboard, mm-hmm. like just paper, fine. If it has like any type of wax gloss on it, you can't recycle it. Don't put it in there.
If it has tape on it?
If it has tape on it, yeah, probably need to take that off. Like, just rip that shit off, because otherwise probably can't recycle it either. It's going to contaminate the whole lot. Receipts, I think, are not recyclable, depending on the ink. So it is best to just not worry about that. I'm pretty sure the ink is the problem. So I think it's okay to just sort of throw your receipts in the trash.
Or we can just change the ink that's used.
And I think that's, I kind of want to look that up really quick. I'm going to look it up really quickly.
That's crazy, because some receipts, the ink disappears.
Yeah, I think those ones are fine to recycle. I think that's why
receipt machines are made equal.
I think so. So let me look at receipts recyclable.
I swear this podcast makes me so upset with America on a daily basis. That's what it should be called. How else can America piss me off?
So if most paper receipts are not recyclable, this is because they're printed on thermal paper. So it's the paper, not the ink, actually.
Okay.
Which contains a chemical known as bisphenol A, or sometimes bisphenol S, that cannot be easily removed from the paper during the recycling process to avoid contaminating other paper in your product stream. Safest to just throw it away. So yeah, receipts, just throw them away.
Okay.
It's not the ink, y'all. It is another chemical.
The paper. Got it.
But it is, yeah, no receipts. I'm trying to think of other things that I know are like really...
What about like tissue paper that you use
Tissue paper, nope. Can't recycle it. Just take that shit back and use it for another gift. Just keep recycling it, or just keep reusing it. Or just don't buy it. One of the two. Toilet paper, paper towel, stop putting that shit in my recycling. That's to my people. But also, yeah, like don't do that.
The roll?
The roll, yeah. No, the roll is fine. The roll is fine. Yeah, but not the tissue itself. That's just cardboard. Not the tissue itself, not the paper towel itself.
Yeah, don't use a paper towel and then throw it in recycling.
Girl, I have... There is a reason I check my recycling after people leave my house. The things I have seen have been very terrifying. So don't do that. Wax-covered cardboard, also a no.
Poster board?
Poster board. I don't know a poster board. I'm assuming if it has anything glossy on it, it's best to assume you can't because that's some type of chemical that probably won't allow it. And that's the shitty part is that these, like those cardboards with the gloss on it will still probably have the recycling thing on it. But that's because part of the box is you just can't do.
I want to punch someone. What do you mean?
So it's like, it's where the education of it all comes in, which obviously we lack because most of us aren't being taught.
But even corporations lack?
Oh, I mean.
Or don't care?
Corporations definitely don't lack it. I think they just don't care. Or maybe. So let me back up on that too. So apparently a lot of the things we've seen from corporations that have cared have just been because of laws.
Yeah.
So it's like literally governments being like, you can't. Like, you have to. So, a lot of corporations don't allow us to have, like, food containers at work that aren't compost or that are not anything but compostable because that's the state law if that's happening. So, in, like, California, most of the corporations are, like, everything that was there, forks, spoons, blah, blah, all compostable because that's California state law. And so a lot of these things kind of do that same thing, with even sort of clothes production, water bottle production, like all these things, it comes from the laws that are in place. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately these corporations should be caring. But you know, it's about the bottom line dollars that capitalism is profit. So, if they ain't got to spend money, they not doing
just
it.
Just give me my money.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of any other things to watch out
glass
for.
Glass becomes glass.
Glass is glass, and you have to make sure you wash it out, too. So make sure you wash that off. I would say it's probably not a bad idea to just take stuff off of it, too, if you can.
Yeah.
Just in case. Why not? Take it off. Yes.
Mirrors as well? Like, well, I guess mirrors.
I'm going to assume no because of that backing on it. Because, like, the back of the mirrors are strange. But let's just Google that, too. Let's see. Mirrors. Recyclable.
Because I'm moving, I'm trying to think of all the things I want to throw away. Like, what? And I think my other question is...
Yeah, due to the way mirrors are manufactured, they can't be recycled. Yeah, I think it's something about the backside of it, because the backside isn't glass. Mm-hmm. It's something else.
That's crazy. For those things that aren't recyclable, and maybe this is a later thing. Well, I don't know if this is part of the challenge or anything, but I'm curious, what can we do with those? Like, is there someone out there who's like, hey, here are ways that you can reuse these items that you want to throw away? Like, what can I do with my laundry detergent container instead of just throwing it away in the trash?
Yeah, so I think a lot of that comes into the conversation of upcycling and downcycling. Mm-hmm. So just the idea of, like, is there something you do in your creative space? Yeah. Do you know artists around who might want stuff like that? Again, just, like, Googling, like, are there places I can drop this off where someone might want to use it? All those things, you know, I think... Inherently, though, some of it is just kind of the idea, again, going back to the reduce and reuse part of it, is just kind of like, try to just stop buying it, you know? I think in some ways, we have to be forgiving to our own selves because we didn't choose to, like, we didn't go to trying to think of Tide and be like, Tide, make your plastic container out of recyclable plastic 3. We didn't do that, you know? They did that. And so it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, you fooled me 999 times, however many balls I've brought. But now that I know this, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I should figure out, you know, a better.
Yeah. Let's force them to change their packaging by boycotting, you know, because
boycotting or just lobbying your, you know, local representatives to try to see if you can get some legislation introduced into your state, your city, your county that might actually impact maybe wherever that headquarters is.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, I think it just really comes back to the fact that everyone needs to care equally. So I know that people who are listening who might be like, I'm not recycling. Please, 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 for me. Again, going back, even if it's just glass,
just those few simple things.
Even if it's just glass and metal, that is okay. That is still really...
That row of alcohol bottles that you got
pop that shit in
from college.
Pop it in a recycling bin, please. You know, it's just worth it. It's worth it. So continue down our list though. So steel, once it's recycled, can produce new cans again, bike parts, rebar, car parts, steel beam, appliances. So like, again, like this isn't small shit that it's gonna make, you know? And It's worth it to go do it. Paperboard to like cartons and like milk cartons and things like that. Paper towels, tissues, napkins, computer paper. So like, you know, also becoming something important. Mm-hmm. Glass, you know, just pretty much new glass, countertops, flooring, landscaping stones, sewer pipes.
That's crazy.
AstroTurf.
Wow.
Sand used in construction projects, fiberglass. I mean, I think glass is probably the craziest one.
Versus remaking these things.
Yeah.
I think that may, there's so much of it. So I'm much. Sure there's
so much glass and metal out here. So, I mean, there's so much glass and metal here. I mean, like, definitely got some space. Yeah, and, you know, papers, so, like, envelopes, post-it notes, etc. Envelopes, I definitely recommend everyone look into those because I know some of those are also wax. Mm-hmm. So I know that not all of them are going to be able to. And then I know some of them have that plastic film in it. So I'm assuming you probably would have to go in and pull the plastic film out mm-hmm. before you recycle it. Yes, but
The little front window.
Yeah, little window. So paper, of course, making new paper, toilet paper, tissues, magazines, napkins, insulation. I thought that was crazy.
I can see that.
Telephone books. Yeah, right. I'll say you're right.
Wait. I was like, what? I would have thought that was plastic.
I would have thought it was so many things, but paper. Construction paper, newspaper, egg cartons. Egg cartons also kind of shocked me too, but I guess it is just paperboard. Plastic number 2. Not to mistake with plastic 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. Used to produce plastic crates, plastic bins, new bottles and jugs. And of course, those things that are produced from there probably then are marked as another type of plastic.
I just find it so funny that the things we recycle turn into things that we cannot recycle.
Well, but I think that's kind of like the point, not the point, but the inevitability, right? Mm-hmm. It's like at that point, you know, once you're turning, you know, your steel into an appliance or, you know, your plastic number 2 into a crate, it's usually things that hopefully you won't have to throw away. You know, it's like it should be reused or it should be sort of in the cycling space over and over again. I don't know. That's just kind of how I try to justify it in some ways. But no, I agree. It's like if taken by the wrong person or brought without intention, it's just going to a landfill. Now it's going to start doing its slow plastic degradation thing and make it into all of our soil and our bodies.
Crimes of the future.
Yeah, I mean, crimes of now. I mean, apparently, basically, the idea of landfills is why we do see so much runoff of all the plastics in our bodies and whatnot. I think one of the articles I read was saying that, was it Weekly? I think it was Weekly. Weekly, I think we on average, most humans take in like 2,000 small microplastics. It's like a credit card.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. Crimes of the Future is actually a movie.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a David Cronenberg movie where that's kind of what it's about.
Interesting.
Is that there is literally plastic within us. Part of the movie is like literally, I think it starts.
Placentas have plastic in them.
It starts with a child literally eating plastic. He's eating like a plastic garbage bin.
Okay,
and it's because it's the only thing that he can eat that his body will accept him to eat. Yikes. Because a majority of him is plastic.
That's crazy. They said we took dystopian to the max. Yeah, so I think that's pretty much all the things I have. I mean, the last thing I have here is just some worst cities and maybe some forward thinking or best cities and some best countries, but only if you want to hear those. Otherwise, we can just go into our conversation.
Either way, give me the best city that is recycling right now, the worst city that's recycling, and then what country we should aspire to be like.
So I can't give you the best or worst because apparently they're sort of so qualitative that it's kind of hard.
Okay.
But I can give you the best country, though, for sure. So the best country, at least in, what was this, 2023, was actually Belgium. I think, if I remember correctly, in 2024, it might have been Wales now, which was number 2 in 2023. And Germany kind of goes in and out, too, sometimes. So, top 3, kind of Belgium, Wales, Germany at any given time, it seems.
I find it so funny that we're really that's what we're looking for. We are I don't know. I just feel like there is this, I gotta be the best mentality. in different parts of the world, but like when it comes to something like this, mm-hmm. you're just like, yeah, I gotta be the best.
Well, I mean, the problem is because most people already think we are the best. You know, it's like America literally is that little dick jock that literally isn't even good at the sport. They're just pretty. And they just have friends that are good at the sport.
They like, are that's America. The high school kid that was really popular and didn't glow up.
Yeah.
Didn't glow up at all. Just, your glow up was back then. Mm,
just peaked.
And you peaked and now you're just going downhill from here. And that's crazy. And still feel like you don't have to do anything to be cool.
Whenever someone tells me, oh, America's the best country for anything, I do exit the conversation. I'm not doing this with you ever.
Like, where?
It will never happen.
I'm sure there are other places.
So some of the best cities here, I'll kind of just read through some of them because they're what we would expect. You know, it's Phoenix, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco.
New York?
Seattle. I mean, New York has really good recycling programs. I mean, I know they kind of went through some issues during the pandemic because of just sort of availability of workers and budgets and things.
Okay, was that what that was? Because I remember there being a time in New York where people didn't know what to do with their trash whatsoever.
They pulled back their composting program for a while. I don't know if it's back, but I know that was sort of a pandemic sort of issue that kind of brought that happen. And sorry, and to also clarify, these best cities are just forward thinking. Okay. So I don't know if they're actually...
Got you. It's not the thought that counts here, though. So...
So yeah, so Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Boise, Idaho, Idaho. Okay, cool. So where's that? I'm trying my Americanism. Portland, San Diego, Boston, and Denver. So there's like some of the forward-thinking better cities. The worst, Philadelphia, Chicago, of course, Flagstaff, Memphis, Indianapolis, Franklin, New Hampshire. Had never heard of that before until today. But here we are.
To be in one of the cities with the worst recycling.
Yeah. So what do you think of all this coming back around?
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot to take in. I am happy to know that it can be easier. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, okay.
Because the mindset, it's like kind of, what are you aiming for, you know? Like, I don't really admittedly recycle plastics a lot because I find them to be confusing. I think I once read an article that was like, if it is a certain plastic, you actually take it to a certain facility. Mm-hmm. And so from that moment, I was kind of like, okay, fuck plastics. I'm not doing that. Yeah. Now that I know one and two, I will add those in there now. But honestly, most of my recycling is just, again, paper, cardboard, mm-hmm. glass, and metal. Outside of that, I'm kind of like, it don't need to be in there for me.
Just doing
what I can do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But something. It. Definitely something.
Something. Something small. Again, bringing your own cup, bringing your own silverware mm-hmm. to a place. God, what is the world?
A lot. A lot.
No, this was very enlightening. I do appreciate this. I have always wanted to be a recycler. I've always wanted to be about that, but it always felt like it was going to be complicated. I always felt like I had to think about too many things to make it happen. But if it's literally just taking off a cap on a bottle and then rinsing it and throwing it in there, that I can do that.
Yeah, and I think it's just so important to always remember that it is really about the landfills because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think people really forget or might not even know how much it takes to maintain a landfill. Like, I mean, even just the engineering marvels I talked about here, I mean, you also have to remember that there are trucks literally driving from places that could be hundreds of miles away just to drop stuff off. That's now gas, that's now emissions just to get it there and drop it off, where the recycling plant would have been way closer, way less gas.
The fact that you said that one of our exports was our recycling.
Yeah. Which would you think about that? It was on a boat.
It was on a boat.
Like, you know how much that is? It's like, so it's like, it's like, it was unfortunately still better, of course, to have it being recycled, even though after a boat's emissions, because it wasn't, again, the methane. The methane is so much more deadly and lethal.
But then you were just bringing it to be someone else's problem.
Yeah, and that's the problem, too, which is why, you know, again, China had to stop. They were like, we can't keep doing this. So it's like, most of sort of where I've come from this being someone who is a really avid recycler, is that I am pressing my friends in Chicago to recycle more now, because I now know that it's about people needing to know more. So if I'm just going to be a single-handed little cheerleader that's like, you can do it. Here's a bin. My yep. Christmas gift to you. There you go. Like, honestly. Here's a little label on it to help you out.
This I will give it. Everyone reusable shopping bags.
Yeah, because it's like even if you do that and it goes to your recycling bin in your building and that shit is marked as contaminated, mm-hmm. that's okay, because one day when everyone starts to learn, it'll stop being marked as contaminated mm-hmm. and it'll actually make it to the recycling station mm-hmm. where they can actually sort it. And that's the thing. They know that when it makes it there, they're going to sort it, and there's still going to be things that aren't going to work, and they don't throw the whole thing away there. So it's mm-hmm. like, you just want to get it to be good enough to get picked up. So like, don't have plastic bags in there, y'all. Don't have, you know, the shit that's just obviously not there. Tissue paper, diapers, batteries, propane gas tanks, like garden hoses, igloos. What are y'all doing? Christmas trees. What are y'all doing?
Again, I get it.
At least give it a chance.
I see what you're trying to do there. Yes. But there's probably other places. There's probably a place that does want old Christmas trees
to reuse
them as something else. They may not be able to be recycled, but maybe there are reuse locations. Maybe that needs to become a thing.
Yeah.
It's reuse locations where, hey, you got this big bin or this big piece of plastic that...
You don't know what to do with it.
Bring it we'll here. It we will find a reason. Like, I love that there have been some... But I know that there are some people who use, like, plastic bottles to create homes.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they couldn't be... Maybe they couldn't be recycled, but they can be used to create something that will be useful to someone else in some kind of way, instead of, just take it to the landfill. Do you know how big that landfill is going to get in a few years?
Yeah.
The next generation, like, leave a place better than you found it. You know what I mean? And all you're doing is thinking about yourself right here, right now, and not thinking about the people who have to deal with this in the future.
For sure.
And that's tough. That's tough to
swallow, for me at least.
Really?
Because, I mean, it's just, it's really disheartening to go through learning more about this just to find that the cycle is really people's apathy.
It's really people not.
And then on top of it being people's apathy, it's the fact that, again, this country is such a shit show that it's like, it's just no one having a consistent sort of plan or rule for it. Like, if you know the West Coast has got the shit unlocked, then federal government just take their model and apply it to everyone. Like, I don't get it. Like, what do you mean?
What is so hard about
that? So it's just like, I think we'll get there because we won't have a choice, unfortunately. I just think that at that point it's too late, because it's already too late.
It is. It already feels that way. Which is why I feel like everyone's just like, well, it's too late anyway.
And that's bad, though. We got to get out the
Can we prolong it a little bit?
Yeah,
we
got to try, y'all. And again, if all you can do for your local Jacoby is just put glass and metal.
Hilarious.
In your bin. In your recycling bin, I will be so appreciative.
Do you know if... Well, no, we talked about the landfills, and maybe that's another conversation. Like, I'm curious...
I think I want to do a landfill episode for sure. It's insane. Yeah. Like, they're insane.
I just want to know... I want to know what they're going to do.
I kind of honestly, like, if we ever become video-enabled, I think the landfill episode will be my first video one, because it's like, there's just so much to show.
The images are going to scar me.
It's really interesting.
But maybe that's what people need to see.
Yeah.
Do you know any good, like, recycling documentaries or anything?
Not really any that come off my mind. I have some, like, good resources. So Slow Factory, they're, like, a really good, they have an Instagram page. I think it's literally Slow Factory. They're really good sort of environmental, social media vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I definitely would tell everyone, go follow Slow Factory. They're a really good space to just go and learn a lot about the world, especially from an environmental space. As far as documentaries go, I feel like there's so many out there. I just tend not to watch them because my brain is already in this.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think sometimes watching documentaries on things like our food, system, or like the agricultural industry or recycling industry, it's in my mind, I'm like, I can't take anything more because I'm already running with too much, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone out there has any good recommendations that we can include in our recap, let us know for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else that comes to your mind?
No, I just want change, and same. I will start doing what I can.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. If I only make four people do it, I'll be happy. But I think I'll get, you know, at least the 50 people that come through.
I'll stop believing that my efforts are not doing anything.
They're doing something, I promise.
Do it myself, tell a friend, tell my friend to tell a friend. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that will make it a lot better.
Yes, for sure.
Slowly but surely.
So my challenge this week, I know it's a little random, but I think it helps to contextualize the issue, is to just learn about your nearest landfill. So just look up where's your nearest landfill, see if you can find photos, so you can see how big it is, where it is, maybe look at the neighborhood it's in. Look up if it has even the technology I talked about today. Does it have methane recycling? Does it have these layers? I don't think all of them do. So like just really take the opportunity to learn about where your trash is going, and that might help you contextualize why it's important to start doing anything.
I agree. I like that. Cool. I did lose my quote. Let me go find it.
Take your time.
Wow, I just had it. Okay, well, we're going to go with this one because I feel like it relates to what we've talked about today. And it's Maya Angelou. And it was actually for tomorrow. This is for tomorrow's date, okay? Oh, my quote for tomorrow is, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better.
Do better. You read that again for the people.
Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. Maya Angelou.
I love that. It's so beautiful. I want to give an apology to Noah from The Notebook last week. I call him Jack. I got my white people rom-coms or romedies mixed up.
Jack from Titanic.
I said it on my chest. I said, Jack.
I was with you. I was like, yeah, that's that boy's name.
And then I was writing it down. I'm like, oh, it's Noah. Okay. Well, we love y'all, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, bye.